Going to be found in Proverbs 31, a very familiar portion on a day like this. Truth of the matter is, there are not a lot of portions that we find that specifically make those references to the mothers in the way that this particular passage does. Proverbs 31, we'll look at verses 10 through 12 and then 27 through 31. She's gone now. I'll have to wait till she comes back in. My wife reminded me that Scott and Tammy are here too as well. I recognized the two ladies earlier, but Scott, good to have you here on this weekend. Well, she's going to get her moment. She will get to stand in a few moments so everybody can see her. So everybody look right up here at Tammy. When they stand. Here she comes. We can all watch her come up the aisle. All right, Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now over to verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her own hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? We do want to thank you, Father, for this portion of Scripture. A portion which really elevates and highlights the example of a faithful mom and a faithful wife. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you that we can recognize those that are among us. And we pray in even a few moments as they stand before us, Lord, we are just thankful for those who have chosen to be with us this day, that we can worship you in their presence, Lord. They could have been most anywhere else they might have chosen to be, but they have chosen to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for your word, its truth. We pray that today we might be encouraged, instructed by it. We trust that you would have the freedom to speak to our hearts as our service continues. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen. Now, everybody except mothers can be seated. Had to stop and think about that a minute, didn't you? All right. And Tammy, we did recognize you, and they all watched, and they're all looking at you right now. Because when I recognized Rebecca and Emily for being here, I forgot that you also had come today. So anyway, today's your day, girls. Happy Mother's Day. And we're glad that you've chosen to be with us today. I have a poem. I've had this for many, many years. We've just read a portion of Scripture that applies to you ladies. But I trust this will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. It's just simply titled Mother. She was just an old-fashioned mother. She did not pretend to be smart. To care for her home and her dear ones was the wish that was first in her heart. We were raised by the old-fashioned methods so sparsely employed today. And when we so richly deserved it, we were spanked in the old-fashioned way. She taught us the old-fashioned virtue. A good name is far better, she'd say, than all of the wealth of the nation, and truth is the best any day. She believed in the old-fashioned Bible. She trusted in old-fashioned prayer. She told us that Jesus would hear us if we'd speak any time, anywhere. Thank God for an old-fashioned mother, for the Bible and old-fashioned prayer, for the old-fashioned faith that is looking for our Lord to appear in the air. And I trust this will be a special day for you mothers. I trust that your family spoils you today. Not tomorrow, but today's your day, and may they give special attention to make today a very special one for you. And ladies, we do have something special for you to take home with you as you leave today. In front of the glass trophy case, there is a table, and there is something special for you. We'll let you choose which one you like best. We're not going to make you take something you don't like, okay? So ladies, you stop and choose the one that looks best to you on your way out, and the Lord bless you, ladies. You may be seated. Unless you'd like to stand like I do as I preach this morning. I'd invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14 for our text this morning. Proverbs chapter 14. Our message we gave the title of "What Tremendous Potential." And you notice in Proverbs 14:1, there's two extremes that are referred to in Proverbs 14:1. It says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." What potential? What extremes? And we think here the fact that it seems that a woman has that potential to either be a builder, a contributor in her home, or one who tears it down, depending upon the choice that she makes. Well, certainly every woman would want to build, be a builder, right? But not the foolish. They're spoken of here. While we will consider the foolish this morning, our main emphasis is going to be on the wise ones. And let's notice first, our outline is a simple one this morning. The first point would be the wise builder. Every wise woman buildeth her house. The wise builder. This thought here is the fact that the wise woman is going to be one who causes her household to flourish. She's going to be contributing that in her home to that which would have the home a setting where it's going to be flourishing. As we think about how this might come about, turn with me to Proverbs 9, verse 10. How does a woman build her house? You mean she takes boards and nails and gets out there and beats and bangs? Is that what that means? I always thought the men were the one that, you know, if they if they were going to build the house, they were the builders. Didn't think of the women as the ones that did all that manual labor. Obviously, that's not what we're talking about here, and that's not what Solomon had in mind. In Proverbs chapter 9, in verse 10, it tells us this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." How do we see that that is foundational? Because it says that every wise woman buildeth her house. And if she is a wise woman, she is going to be one who has the proper fear of the Lord in her heart. The proper fear of the Lord in her heart. That's not that cowering in the corner in terror, but one that has that recognition and respect for who the Lord is. Recognition that apart from the Lord, she is helpless in being able to make her home what it ought to be. There's a familiar psalm that tells us in Psalm 127, verse 1, these words. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." How is she going to be a wise builder? With the Lord. If she's going to be a wise builder, she's going to have to be a woman who knows the Lord, who trusts the Lord, one who has right regard for the Lord in her life. How can that work out? What's involved in recognizing that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? I want to just suggest a few things to you this morning. And we're not going to say that this is the whole list, but this wise builder that is our outline point here, how does she build her house? A, if you would turn back to our portion in Proverbs 31, which we read, the answer, the first thing I would suggest would be the atmosphere she creates in her home. The atmosphere she creates in her home. Let's go back to that Proverbs 31, and we didn't read all those verses, and we're not going to take the time to read every word, but I want to highlight a few more things. What do you mean, the atmosphere that she creates in her home? I especially appreciated the footnote in the Liberty Study Bible, and I would just like to point some things out here. A footnote that they had. And you notice these verses as I just highlight reading this particular footnote. Each one of these verses, verses 10 through 31, it emphasizes a different quality about the excellent wife. And today we're looking at the concept included with that, the wife who is the mother as well. Listen to these points as I read. We find, first of all, that she is rare in verse 10. She's trustworthy in verse 11. She's constant in her love, verse 12. She's industrious, verse 13. She's thrifty, verse 14. She's self-starting. Doesn't need to have somebody building a fire under her all the time, in verse 15. She's enterprising, verse 16. She's willing to do hard work, in verse 17. She's willing to work long hours, verse 18. Her candle goeth not out by night. If there's a job that has to be done, she'll do it. She's willing to do monotonous work. verse 19. She's compassionate, verse 20. She's prepared for the future, verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. All her household are clothed with appropriate clothes for what's coming. She's a good seamstress, verse 22. I would about imagine, probably about right now, some of you ladies, instead of this building you up, perhaps it's weighing you down as we read the list. Certainly, just some commendable things. I'm not so sure that it's possible that, just like when we come to the portion in Timothy and Titus, those qualifications for a bishop or an elder, it's hard to find someone who qualifies in every one of those points. So, man, we have those lists that make us feel just a little bit smaller too, don't we? We're not trying to downplay. We are trying to elevate the high esteem that a woman can have in her home. As Solomon, or actually King Lemuel in verse 31 of this chapter, gives high points, highlights, things that really a woman many times is capable of, and many of these features show up in her life. We find that she's married to a leader, verse 23. That kind of puts it back in the husband's ballpark, doesn't it? Do we qualify? She's an entrepreneur in verse 24. She's not swayed by circumstances, verse 25. She's wise and kind, verse 26. She's duty conscious, verse 27. She's blessed by her family, verse 28. She is not satisfied by the mediocre, verse 29. She's a woman of God, verse 30. And she is praiseworthy, verse 31. We find that what an excellent picture. What an excellent portion to take to heart. What an excellent portion to pray about. Features, things to work toward by God's grace and enablement. Let me ask, ladies, what kind of an atmosphere do you create in your home? Atmosphere. Is it a pleasant place to be? Or is the air quite often kind of thick and uncomfortable and not so pleasant? How many of you have ever visited? I know Denise has. How many of you, besides Denise, you've spent much time in a greenhouse? Anybody go in a greenhouse? A few. When you walk into a greenhouse, what hits you? What impresses you? What is it? The smell of flowers. The what? The heat and the humidity. Oftentimes, especially in the summertime, if it's warm outside and then you walk in there, many times it just smacks you in the face. When you walk in, the humidity is so high. The heat is cranked up so much. Not a pleasant place to be, is it? But guess who loves it? The flowers, if they could raise their petals. They love that. The atmosphere, it's perfect for flowers to grow and develop properly. My point is, it's not an atmosphere in that greenhouse that you really want to spend much time in. Sadly, the atmosphere of many homes oftentimes is anything but inviting and enjoyable. What kind of an atmosphere, ladies, do you promote and create in your home? That's one of the ways that a wise woman builds her house, by having the right kinds of ingredients in place in her home, so that it's a place people enjoy spending time in. You know, a home ought to be a safe haven. A home ought to be a desired goal at the end of a busy day. One and all under that house ought to be looking forward to, I can't wait until I can just get back home. Is that the kind of home you have built? Or is your home one where the attitude is, I can't wait until I can get out of this place? I've had it. There is so much strife. There is so much turmoil. There is so much here that makes it not conducive, not enjoyable. A wise woman builds her house. But let's move on. Is simply the atmosphere that she creates. The only thing that helps a woman build her house? No. B, the instruction that she gives. The instruction that she gives. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 1, it says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, we know him as Timothy, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, and it doesn't say he too believed. Read between the lines, and what kind of a home did Timothy grow up in? He grew up in the home where his parents were not on the same page spiritually speaking. His mother was a believer. His father was an unbeliever. Well, kind of hard, you know, to have any good come out of a situation like that. But what's the second verse tell us? As far as this point that we're looking at, a wise woman builds by the instruction that she gives. And that son that grew up in that home where there was no spiritual leadership on the part of the father, she had to do it all because the father evidently had no interest whatsoever. How did she do as a mom? Verse 2, this Timotheus was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. In fact, Paul desired for him, verse 3, to even join up with him and accompany him on his missionary journeys. And we know that that's exactly what took place. Paul saw in this young man, Timothy, potential. He recognized his spirit was one that was right with the Lord. And he said, let's travel together. And we find that they did that very thing. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we see a little bit more about this instruction that he received at home. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy years later after they became traveling comrades and fellow servants. And Paul wrote this letter to him. Verse 3, he said, I thank God that I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you. Then verse 5, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, or unfeigned simply means genuine, sincere faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois. Doesn't say anything about a grandfather. And then your mother, Eunice or Eunice, depends on how the accent is given there. And I am persuaded that in thee also. As we think about the instruction that a wise woman, a wise mother gives, we see here Timothy grew up under the godly influence of a grandmother who knew the Lord as her own personal Savior, a mother that had also accepted the Lord as her own personal Savior, and then they had been instrumental in instructing Timothy in the Word of God. What do you mean? How do you know that? Turn a page or two. Look at chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Chapter 3, 14 and 15. This was before the days of public schools. This was back in the days when every mom was a homeschooler. That wasn't such an unusual thing. And listen to what mom taught Timothy. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You had mom and grandma teaching you, and that from a child thou hast known what? What was the textbook? The Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul refers to that instruction that this young man had received long before Paul had ever met him. Timothy was already a believer when the two met up in Acts chapter 16. Timothy already had a reputation as a solid believer, a young man who knows the Lord, and he's assured and he practices the truth of his word. Where did he get that? He got that from home, because he had a mom who was a wise builder. And as we think about how did she build, by the atmosphere that she created, I don't believe Timothy grew up in a home where he was hearing all kinds of bad things about his father. I don't believe he grew up being isolated from the truth of God's word. His grandmother and mother knew that there was nothing more important for this young mind and heart than to teach and give him the truth of God's word. And so they raised him. That was what they talked about at home. That was what the teaching was about. Timothy grew up a very privileged young man because his mom was a wise builder. But his dad was unsaved. That's all right. That's all right. Mom didn't let opportunities pass by and blame it on the fact that, well, I don't have a husband who's doing the teaching here. As we think about this second point, the instruction she gives, we could couple that right with, under this same point, point B, the example that she set. The example that she set before the eyes of this young boy. Atmosphere she creates, A. Instruction she gives, B. Contributes to being a wise builder. But C, let's add one more thing. The values that she instills. The values she instills in her home. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll show you what I mean by that. What do you mean, values that she instills? Let's begin at verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he was old enough to choose for himself, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Remember, he was in line most likely to be perhaps the next king of that land. After all, Pharaoh's daughter raised him. But values had been instilled into his heart. But wait a minute, you just said Pharaoh's daughter raised him once he was weaned. Go back to the book of Exodus. Read the story of Moses. And God enabled Moses' mother to raise her son and get paid for it. Pharaoh had said, every Hebrew boy under such and such an age, throw him in the river to the crocodiles. Only let the girls live. But it says here, in verse 23, they saw he was a proper child. He was godly. They were not dismayed or afraid of the king's commandment. And we know the plan, the scheme that Jochebed, Moses' mother, came up with. Wove that little basket of bulrushes, or whatever it took, hid the basket in the bulrushes. Waterproofed it with pitch. Laid her little baby boy in there, hid it in the bulrushes, and then said, Miriam, his older sister, you watch and see what happens to your little brother. And Pharaoh's daughter came down for a bath, and she heard a noise, sent one of her maidens out to fetch it, and there at the proper time, I'm convinced of it, there's nothing that weighs on a woman's soft spot more than the tears of a baby that's crying. And it says that when she opened the basket, there was this little boy and he was crying. And her heart went out to him and she raised him. And about that time, Miriam said, I'm sure I could find a Hebrew woman to nurse this child for you. Go do it and I will pay her. Talk about God being in control, or things just working out by happenstance here. No way. God was taking care. God had a plan for that little boy. And we know when he was there, raised by his mom. Raised by his mom until he was old enough to be nursed. And we've told you before, in years gone by, they weren't so quick to wean them back then. They would nurse when those children were several years old yet. And during that time, that mom is able to be teaching. Able to be teaching. There are some sources that suggest that a woman could and often did nurse a child up until he was 5 years old. 5-year-old can learn a lot, and you can instill a lot of values in the heart of a 5-year-old. And Jochebed did. How do we know? Because when a choice had to be made, what choice did he make? He chose, he esteemed the reproach of Christ, verse 26, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we find that by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And you know what's true of Moses was also true of Miriam and Aaron, raised in that same home. They too had those values that were instilled upon them. In such building, instilling those values, giving instruction, creating the proper atmosphere, the results are not always immediately seen. The well-known evangelist of several generations ago, Reuben A. Torrey, R.A. Torrey, was a young man. When he was a young man, he had no faith in God or the Bible. His mother, however, was an earnest Christian and pleaded with him to turn to God for forgiveness and salvation. She constantly prayed for R.A. Torrey's conversion. One day he said to her, "I am tired of it all. I don't want to hear any more about my sins, Jonathan's class, and your prayers. If you'd tell me more about the love of God, I might listen." Huh, Jonathan? Not quite. "I'm leaving," he said. His weeping mother pled with him, but he would not be deterred. Finally, she said, "Son, you are going the wrong way. But when you come to the darkest hour of all, when everything seems lost and gone, if you will earnestly call on your mother's God and seek him with all your heart, you will get the help you need." Torrey went deeper and deeper into sin. At last, one night in a hotel room, unable to sleep and weary of life with problems pressing down on every hand, he decided, "I'm going to get out of bed, I'm going to take that gun that I have in the drawer, and I'm going to end my life." But as he stood up, his mother's words came back to him. Convicted by the Holy Spirit, he fell on his knees and cried out, "O God of my mother, if there be such a being, I need help. I need light. If you will give it to me, I will follow you." In a moment, his dark heart was filled with the light of God's love. With tears running down his face, he put his trust in Christ as his Savior. He then hurried home to tell his mother that her prayers had been answered. Reuben A. Torrey became an outstanding evangelist and helped win thousands to Christ. He founded the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, which later became known as Biola University. Torrey learned the reality of the scripture that says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Psalm 34, verse 6. And you know what? He will do the same for you if you have never called upon the Lord to be your Savior. Well, what about the rest of our verse, though? We've looked at the wise woman builds her house, and we have tried to give some words of instruction, help, and guidance that would be to the glory of the Lord. But what about the foolish one? Point number two, the one who tears down her house. The first one was the wise builder, but now let's see the one who tears down. The foolish plucketh it down with her hands. That word plucketh means pull down, ruin, or destroy. She'll pull it down. She will ruin a home. She'll destroy it. And how does she do that? Well, it says with her hands. Well, there again, does it mean that she goes around picking the drywall off of the walls and busting out the windows with her hands? And no, that's a metaphorical term. What it has reference to is with her power, with her influence, with her strength, and with her might. She has no interest in building up her home whatsoever. She has no interest in the things of the Lord. And her influence and her power, rather than building up, is tearing it down. And we see the big contrast. This one tries herself in her own strength. Remember, except who build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord. This woman, what do I need the Lord for? Who needs the Lord? This one does it on her own. And she does a great job, doesn't she? In tearing it down and making home a miserable place. We could go right through the same list that we gave of contributing factors to the wise builder. Remember, we labeled them A, B, and C. Let's go back and look at those same things. What about the atmosphere that this foolish woman we find here in Proverbs 12, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Why was woman ever created in the first place? Go back to the beginning book. God said, after he had created all the animals and he had created Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, what was God's conclusion as he looked at the creation? It is what? Not good that a man should be alone. I will create, I will make and help. The old King James says, meet. Translate that to a little more understandable. And the word is fit for him. I'm going to create the perfect partner for him. I'm going to create the completer of man. And that's the virtuous woman in Proverbs 12, verse 4. She's a crown to her husband. She builds him up. She supports him. She makes him look good. She stands beside him. But we're looking at the other side of the coin now. And that woman doesn't realize her purpose to be the completer of her husband. It says, she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And it seems, quite honestly, that some women don't have a clue Some women, it seems, don't have a clue about what their job is to be and what God created them for. Oh, God forbid that any in the sound of my voice are like rottenness in the bones of your husband because of the atmosphere you create in the home. But let's look at that second thing. What about the instruction? The instruction that that wise woman gives. What do you mean, instruction here? In 2 Chronicles chapter 22, it was actually before our series on the king's heart. 2 Chronicles 22, let's begin at verse 2. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah or Athaliah, whatever you prefer, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. And look at the next phrase. For his mother was his what? His counselor to do wickedly. What a contrast of that which we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. This young man grew up in a home where his mother was telling him how to be the most wicked person you could possibly be. You say, no woman would do that. Read the book. What's it say? His mother counseled him in dishonesty, in untruthfulness, in wickedness. She tore down her house. We certainly wouldn't call her a wise builder, would we? And then see that last point that we looked at. The values she instills. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, because our time is almost gone, just mark that. And right beside that reference, Herodias. How many of you really wanted to name your daughter Herodias? Why? What's her name synonymous with? Her name is synonymous with evil, isn't it? Matthew 14, Mark 6, tells the story of the beheading of John the Baptist. Why? Because the king, after his daughter had danced before him, was pleased. And he said, ask me anything you want, and I will give it to you up to half of my kingdom. And she ran home and said, Mom, guess what? Herodias, Dad said, I could have anything I want up to half the kingdom. What should I ask him for? And what did Herodias say? Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. That's what I want. The values she instilled. Herodias was not a wise builder of her home. The values on that young girl to do something like that. Well, our goal certainly is what? As we think of our text that we started with in Proverbs 14, Our goal is to be what kind of a builder? Wise builder. Is it possible in the 21st century for a woman to be a wise builder of her house? You better believe it. Because the truths that have worked down through the ages still work today. If there is a heart willing to read the book and follow the instructions, I trust this will be a blessing and an encouragement to each and every mom that's here today and that's listening out on the internet. Shall we close in prayer? Father, we do want to thank you and praise you for the privilege that was ours today to turn to your word. We thank you for the privilege of looking at these godly examples, but also receiving instruction from the ungodly ones as well. We pray that you would just bless the homes of these ladies that are here today. May these truths be taken to heart. May it be that which has encouraged and challenge them afresh, Lord, at whatever stage in motherhood may be. Perhaps it's now the grandchildren, but that's not too far gone. We remember Timothy, instructed by a godly grandmother as well as a godly mother. May each one be doers of your word, Lord, and not hearers only. And we ask this for your honor. In your name I pray. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask Keith and Diana LaRue to come up front. They have something that they would like to share with